A la selección china de personas que presentan al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur de Nijir Jilamujian para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a un atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundación Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President.
Listen here, people. Listen to me. Don't try to buy no home down in Washington, D.C., because it's a Bush War town. Ooh, it's a Bush War town. I got a Bush War blues on going on. Spreading it all around. Me and my sweet wife and Miss Barnacle run all over that town. Everywhere we go to people, they would turn us down, Lord, in a Bush War town. Ooh, it's a Bush War town. I got a Bush War blues, I'm gonna spread in you all around. Some white folks in Washington, they know just how. Some of colored man a nickel just to see him by, Lord, in a Bush War town. Town. I got a Bush War blues, I'm gonna spread the news all around. White Marty was standing up there. Heard a white man say, I don't want no Negroes up there. He was a Bush War man. Woo, living in a Bush War town. I got a Bush War blues, I'm gonna spread the news all around. This is the home of the brave, the land of the free. I don't want to be mistreated by no Bush War Z, Lord, in a Bush War town. Town. I got a Bush War blues, I'm gonna spread the news all around.
Blues and culture. They sounds of oppression against the white man's game he's run on us all these blue years. Blues is struggle, strangulation of our people, cause we couldn't off the white mother socking it to us. But now, when I hear Billy's soft, soulful sighs of Am I Blue, I say, no, sweet Billy, no mo'. No mo' blue trains running on this track, they all been derailed. Am I blue, sweet baby blue, Billy? No, I'm black and ready.
I woke up today to hear the weatherman say it was gonna be another sunny day in hell. Now this bat stuck in my hand, and I just don't understand how this got me through life, but I'm still here. So
based on a memory with the pictures on TV. And I sat through it and I took it on the chin. Now I sit here passively, smoking like a chimney. And I wonder sometimes where it all went south. On a sunny day in hell, on a sunny day in hell. On a sunny day in hell, on a sunny day in hell. So they got me to my feet and pushed me out onto the street. In a taxi cab to a waiting room I sped. When in her Sunday clothes passed a girl named Anna Rose, who said, "Look up," when I was looking low. On a sunny day in hell, sunny day in hell. On a sunny day in hell, sunny day in hell. Times when I've forgotten, when you called me Johnny Rotten, and they told me you'd be sitting in the sun. Down at the riverside, where I can sit and hide, and think about some things I haven't done. On a sunny day in hell, sunny day in hell.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. They say when it comes to times of war, the first casualty is truth. And nothing could be more truer than what has taken place since 9/11 here in the United States of America, the country where most of us live. It's been a whole lot of folks who have a whole lot of power, who have a lot at stake, that have definitely been playing games with the truth. And one of the ways they've been doing that is silencing people who have different opinions and different takes on things. They've been making people feel like they are somehow out of step with the rest of the country if they speak out, have been marginalizing people's remarks, and going so far as to even consider calling people traitors and what have you. Well, thank God for hip-hop, because within hip-hop there's always been people willing to speak the truth even when it's unpopular. When you listen to this album, What About Us, keep in mind that we finally get to put our perspectives out there. That's the perspectives of young people, the perspectives of young people of color. All those individuals and folks who come from all these different backgrounds who were absent at the table when they were calling up all these experts to tell us why we need to go and engage in all these different wars and pass all these various laws for the security of this country. The things that have been prescribed by the people in leadership aren't the only solutions. And so on this album, you'll hear the perspectives and the solutions offered from a whole lot of other people who I think make up the majority of this country. Peace, everybody. This is Davey D. I'm out of here.
Con un deseo fuerte a vivir, yo nací y nadie me... Why you keep reaching for airplane? Just remember my name. I'm gonna be slanging sugarcane from my mountain domain. Self-sustained, fully trained, it's the family thing. Feed the seeds, feed the soil, it's my farm and they bring. So harmony reigns, ready for the enemy and the bombs that they bring. We know they dingle, plus the songs that they sing. Been living with them, been a victim of the five-o. Survival become a rhythm, you live and can't get off tempo with title. Got to watch yourself, son, them chameleon. Change the temperature and color like the season. I love and freedom, the poor for no reason. Be the first ones to run, commit treason. Lessons I learned before Babylon burned is still true now. Teach words, moving out through the trials and this wild. Wild west for your best. Haters and traitors, every heat for the bombs and they chest. Don't they go nasty?
Come on, fight, let that fight win me. You're nasty. Come on, let's say a word, they are BB. You're nasty. Todo lo malo voy a decirte. Yo nací así, oh, oh, oh. Yo nací. Vamos a ir con este fuego en mí. Yo nací con un deseo fuerte a vivir. Yo nací y nadie me puede reprimir. Yo nací así.
Con libertad aquí, con libertad.
Don't fuck with me.
Racing with my Uncle Rush,
Russia. We the ones with the guns. He supported the North, so I rode with South Vietnam. Thought it would be easy, but almost 60,000 died. They was harder than Korea, so we ran for our lives. It's a family called the Middle East, and they got bread. Selling oil, they don't put the end and off of their head. Got a nephew named Israel that's right in the middle. Give him weapons for as long as he could dance to my fist. Had a partner named Iraq, gave him weapons and money. Niggas start getting power, and he start acting funny. Started Arabian school, got his son Bin Laden. I was training the soldiers to go against the Russians to stop him. Then he tried to say, I need to take my soldiers and cut. Gave him the finger, that's when he flipped and blew my shit up. Took you to him, and I'm about to take you back to Iraq. And if you ain't my blood brother, you're gonna be flat on your back. Sons of Africa just invented this thing called rap. Tell them my secrets, that's why I'm putting their heads on flat. Built an empire quick, and it might not last. But I bet I go down in history as the running smash. Cause I'm a hitter.
Everywhere I go, everywhere I be, people recognize, everybody see. You can be a friend, you can be a foe. But if you play with my paper, then babe, you gotta go. Cause my country tears of me, heavy artillery. Don't fuck with me.
Song comes in, but I hope y'all appreciate what you're getting to hear right now. I hope you appreciate what you're listening to. This shit here is frontline music. Let's go.
And we're running straight into the February 2nd, 2023 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the Thursday evening show. Going to be kind of picking up pieces, fragments, interviews, and some updates, possibly a snatch or two from the Huff meeting today, which we have every Thursday. All you laggards, come on down, and we can throw coffee and cookies at each other if we're not busy interrupting each other and yowling away. But things can come out. For example, we came up with a return protest to the Mountain Community Resource Center planned to raise some more questions that we want some answers to regarding mainly what seems to be kind of a collusion between police and the Mountain Community Resource Center driving away, I guess, the people that the Resource Center considers undesirable, mainly because of their homeless presence, their disabled presence, maybe sometimes some sharp words. That could be the case, too. But unjustifiably, as far as we're concerned, particularly around not letting people rest under the eaves and awning and shelter themselves from the wind and sometimes the rain and the cold at the building or right on the edge of the building, actually, of the Mountain Community Homeless Resource Center. So we'll be looking into that, and that'll be happening. This protest will be coming back at 11 o'clock next Tuesday, and I guess that's going to be the 7th of February. So all you folks, make your way to 3167 Highway 9, which is the Felton Community Resource Center. I hope I got that address right. No, actually, it's 6134 Highway 9. It's right across from Rite Aid as you head down away from Felton towards Santa Cruz, right before the Quick Stop, or actually right before the iWalk restaurant, if you're a Chinese restaurant fan. That's where we're going to be. I know we'll be talking a little bit more about that in the course of this netcast. So listen in.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. elegance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with a segment from the Huff meeting we just had about an hour ago, a little bit longer as I make this audio recording, in which I contact Reggie Meisler, who is the fellow who filed an appeal against the city's attempt to criminalize people living in their vehicles at night and sort of drive them away by creating an ordinance, second one. Actually, the city has tried. The first one didn't pass muster with the Coastal Commission, and this one hasn't either. But instead, they're using other techniques, and I wanted to find out what Reggie's latest was on that. We transferred the chair of the meeting to Troy, recently returned from, I guess, the Midwest. He was an activist in the Benchlands who was gathering information for a potential injunction, and which never actually happened, unfortunately, to stop them from demolishing the Benchlands. But he took over the chair of the meeting, and then we decided to call Reggie Meisler. I think I'm going to play more of the meeting on Sunday. For those of you who don't mind long shows, I have long shows on Sundays, sometimes going past 6 hours, though often taken up in part with flashbacks to earlier shows. But here's Reggie kind of in a current scene.
What time do you want?
Okay, Troy.
Only no parking signs in Coastal Zone. Is there that
deal? Oh.
Do you know Robert?
Monica, do you know about...
You're calling on him.
Well, we have a phone call we were going to do to talk to Reggie Meisler, who knows more about that. Should we do that now? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, so let's call him up. Let's call him up. I want to commend the chair on his wise decisions.
So are we calling? Oh, that's it. Gloria's calling.
Yeah. If anybody has city council and board,
Hello, Reggie. Robert here.
Hey, Robert.
So we got the Huff meeting, some of them anyway, when they're not chattering, and we got a dog listening as well.
Oh, great.
Give us an update on what's going on with... You did a Public Records Act request around the issue of bad signs that were being posted without coastal permit authorization in the... in some of the coastal zone area, Swanton and
Schaefer and Delaware.
Thank you, Monica. And also, we've gotten a report from Monica that they're now ticketing up there in the last week. Apparently, on behalf of these signs, do we know what the tickets are for?
I did not see the signs before. I think it's for not moving your vehicle every 3 days.
Okay.
Assuming.
Deny.
So what's your? I'm sorry.
No.
Go ahead. So Reggie, what's the update so far? And tell us. Kind of brief us on the background of this for those who don't know about it.
Yeah. So I mean, there's like a couple things happening, or that were happening. I think the first thing is I was talking to Leanne Sherwood just about like what she was dealing with during the storm weather outside and what other folks she knows are dealing with. And she was mentioning the green tags, which is this tag that tries to claim that your vehicle is abandoned and then therefore, you know, through a bunch of threats that if you don't move your vehicle within a certain time period that they can tow you and stuff like that. So that seems like that has fallen off since I've sent emails and ACLU sent an email to the city. So that's good. But then shortly after that, after the storm weather passed, in the last week or two, people were reporting getting tickets in the Delaware area for no parking signs overnight parking. But those parking signs do not have the necessary coastal design permit to be put up, let alone enforced. And so those parking signs, if you get a no parking ticket, and it, you get, like, a lot of these people were showing me their tickets, and it was like, you got a ticket at, like, 3 a.m. or, like, 4 a.m. because it's no parking midnight to 6 a.m. on Delaware Avenue is what the sign says. But those signs are not valid. And so this most recent sort of fight with the city now is sort of like, you know, don't give people these tickets. You're not allowed to. And it seemed like one of the women parked there tried to pay the ticket online, but it said ticket ID not found. So it seems like after I sent an email to the city about that, they may have wiped out these tickets out of their system. But they didn't tell me they did that, right? This is just very, all very quiet. They didn't respond to the green tagging. They didn't respond to the parking signs. And so I've sent another email to the Coastal Commission and the city to just be like, you need to, like, cover up these signs because this is not acceptable. Even if you don't enforce them, it's still a deterrent, which is, you know,
good job. Keep up the good work, Reggie. We got to continue on, man.
You're getting some applause from Troy there.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, good writing them letters, man. Keep it up, man.
So continue with what you're saying, though. I'd like to hear more of it. That's okay.
We got the update.
Go ahead. Is that okay?
I guess. Ukraine's still getting bombed by Russia. Go ahead.
That's true. That's true. And Ukraine's still getting huge amounts of weapons from the U.S. We're on the edge of nuclear war as well. Yes, go ahead.
If you had anything else to ask.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Troy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Reggie. So you were saying, though, you sent a new demand that those signs be covered up or removed or otherwise defaced, perhaps. You're volunteering to go down and remove them yourself, perhaps?
Well, my next step, obviously on the down low here, is to go over there potentially with some other folks.
But before you say anything, I'm recording this, you know, for broadcast. Are you okay with that?
Okay. Well, you know, okay, I won't say it then if it's being recorded, obviously. So, but there is something to that, you know, in that.
Well, let me put it this way.
Like there,
maybe you should put it this way, that you have you heard that some people are considering more direct and extreme measures if the law is not being properly enforced by the Coastal Commission?
Yes.
I see. My goodness. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so that pretty much covers, you know, the situation now and what's been going on. And I'm talking to Alicia Cool, who is starting up a lot more meetings again with the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, which seems very promising. So Alicia is going to work with me on potentially following up on this issue, because she actually gave me an email chain from last year when she looked into the coastal permit on those parking signs. And I used that in the email that I last sent to the city to sort of prove to them that very recently they have been unable to, like, demonstrate that this permit exists.
Yeah, no, that's my understanding. When I spoke directly to the Coastal Commission through email, through, I'm not sure what his name is at the moment, but we had a lot of emails 5 or 6 years ago, and then more recently, about a year ago, they have not issued any permits for signs, as far as they know, and they said they were currently working out through negotiations with the sheriff's department, or maybe it's the public works department, whoever puts up the signs. Do you have any information on the result of their negotiations?
No idea. You know, they're very quiet right now. The city, in terms of public records requests, is seems like they're taking on a new effort in just ignoring public records requests. So I think I'm going to have to, like, ping them at the 10-day mark that they've set up to make sure that they fulfill that last public records request I made to just have in writing that they themselves cannot find the coastal permit for those parking signs.
Definitely. I mean, I would say also send an email informally to the enforcer guy of there, whose name I can remember if you email me at home, and ask him specifically, do you have any, are you aware in the last few years of any permits that are there? And at least you'll get that as an email response, because he's given that kind of response to me in the past. So.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Now, what about the OVO appeal? You told me last that the Coastal Commission, the full Coastal Commission, did not have an appeal on the agenda, and there was no indication that the Santa Cruz City was appealing the ruling that the Coastal Commission made some months back that this was a substantive issue and they could not simply ratify the existing OVO ordinance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so this is actually another important update, I think. I don't remember if I told you about this or not. So, OVO is basically, like, not on the purview. I haven't seen it on the schedule. I haven't heard from Coastal Commission about any updates regarding it. But there was this thing, as soon as, like, the city lost their ability to have a permit because the Coastal Commission found a substantial issue in OVO. That was back in last year of September that happened around, or maybe late August. Shortly after that, the city tried to establish a redrawing of the parking line similar to what they did on Olive Street in 2019, so that the parking lines on West Cliff were smaller in a particular area. It's called David Way. Because they wanted to displace RVs from parking in that area. And so they got appealed, thankfully. I don't know how. I didn't see it coming. And, like, it just sort of was very quiet. And that appeal ended up just a few weeks ago at the office of the Transportation and Public Works Commission, kind of like the Olive Street thing happened, right? And so the Transportation and Public Works Commission, thankfully for us, say what you will about the YIMBY folks, they have, like, a majority on that commission, and they helped, I lobbied them to uphold the appeal against redrawing the parking lines on West Cliff, on David Way. And so I think we potentially stopped an effort of the city trying to incrementally redraw parking lines in the coastal zone to evict RVs. So I think that was kind of...
So to clarify for those listening who don't know what the OVO is, that's the oversized vehicle ordinance that would have essentially banned older RVs from Santa Cruz at night, and also made it very difficult to find parking spots in a majority of the streets during the day. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So that's what the oversized vehicle ordinance was, and it was an attempt to sort of, like, ban overnight parking for large vehicles throughout the city, just carte blanche, like there's nothing you can do. And then during the day, you also almost couldn't park anywhere because the rules around what you could park near were so restrictive. But it seemed like I was saying, this with this weird redrawing of parking lines on West Cliff in a particular street, the city was trying to do an incremental approach to maybe start banning RV parking in that area. So we have to, like, be really careful because, like, I think the city knows that OVO, if it goes to the Coastal Commission to fully give them a permit and think through the process, they're not going to get the permit. So they're going to be looking for these alternative approaches to banning RVs, which is what they really want. They don't care about, overnight is definitely nice, but they want to ban them outright. That's their actual goal here.
Anything else that you can think of where I think most of our members are drifting off, though I'm finding this useful to hear. Thank you, Reggie.
Yeah, no problem. I know it. This stuff gets so technical and so nitty gritty. I mean, the basic idea is that the city wants to ban poor people, you know, in any sort of variation from the city, and they're going to try to find all manner of different, like, techniques and different laws and approaches. And so it's just a, it's a difficult task to, like, try to, like, catch them doing it in one way or another.
Is there any kind of resurgence of Nomad or other groups that were helpful to help people in RVs who are being threatened with tows and ticketing that you know of? DSA or...
Unfortunately, I don't think any other group that I know of is, like, directly working on this particular issue. A lot of focus is often put on people who are, like, very, very unsheltered, living in tents or just complete, like, you know, just sleeping bags, just, like, people who are in real destitution to the extreme. I think vehicle, living in vehicles is something that I don't know how many people are focused on right now, so that's another reason why I feel like it's important to focus on it.
Right. While we're there, when you mentioned people in tents and people who are outside, we've had folks who are concerned about the Mountain Resource Center and their behavior. You probably heard about that online toward folks who are just sheltering under their eaves. Any word about the injunction lawsuits that are being that were supposedly being considered by Disability Rights, ACLU, Homeless Union, HOF? You name it.
No, I haven't kept up on that particular issue at all, but yeah, that would be great. I think you probably know more about that than me.
Okay, and anything about any peace rallies coming up or rallies against police violence, which I understand there is one today at 2
yep.
o'clock at the town clock.
Yep, there's one today at 2 o'clock. There is a, you know, one of those clock tower funeral services for Tyree Nichols, who was killed by police recently.
Now, is that that's today at the town clock? I thought there was...
That's tomorrow, actually.
That's tomorrow.
6 p.m.
At 6 o'clock at the town clock tomorrow, I'm glad you're clarifying that. And that's going to be a rally remembering Tyree Nichols, who was murdered in Memphis by a combination of five cops, a bunch of other cops standing around, fire department officers who did not move in to take him to safety or take him to a hospital, and other people who just stood back. And so,
yeah.
And today there is a rally. Of course, that's going to be gone by the time this is played online. There's a rally around the...
Oh, shoot, Robert, I actually have to go. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I was going to say is for all of you remaining Husters, there is a rally, and that's here on your agenda, for Manny, who's this guy who actually doesn't talk about why, but he was a guy in a Food Not Bombs activist in Georgia who was protesting Cop City, which is the demolition of 100 acres of forest in Georgia. He was shot dead by police. He was one of the tree protesters, tree sitters who were up in the trees, and they killed him, and there's a rally. Again, it's nationwide, but it's happening today at 2 o'clock at the town clock. And as mentioned before, that's too late for all you listeners, but still, it's never too late to become aware of local police abuses and the institutional abuses that are really continuing, regardless of how calm and quiet and mellow and amiable and sociable everything looks. Because, frankly, folks, it's a continuing low-intensity class war until there are very fundamental changes made that don't just amount to sending out mental health workers on the street, as some HUF members are trying to do to ameliorate or alleviate the what may be regarded as either trigger-happy or perhaps too trigger-sensitive police in all departments, and even in our own Santa Cruz department. Historically, the case of Happy John Dine, Sean Arlt, and others, our historical record that it can happen here. Without any meaningful consequences for the police officers, I might add. And now it's time for a musical break. Here's Peggy Seeger How I Long for Peace, singing with her son, Caleb McCoon.
Oh, how I long for peace among the peoples and the nations. How I long to halt the plunder of the wonders of creation. Oh, how I long for peace. I cannot understand how the sisters, wives, and mothers cannot stop the slaughter of the husbands, sons, and brothers. Oh, how I long for peace among the peoples and the nations. How I long to halt the plunder of the wonders of creation. Oh, how I long for peace. There never can be peace till men abandon fighting as the way to deal with problems that prevent us from uniting. Oh, how I long for peace among the peoples and the nations. How I long to halt the plunder of the wonders of creation. Oh, how I long for peace. The profits made from war, there's few that can resist them. Hypocrisy and greed control the lifeblood of our system. Oh, how I long for peace among the peoples and the nations. To halt the plunder of the wonders of creation. Oh, how I long for peace. The earth can wait no longer for political permission. Sit down, disrupt, do anything to make the whole world listen. Oh, how I long for peace among the peoples and the nations. How I long to halt the plunder of the wonders of creation. Oh, how I long for peace.
Well, I'm on the line with Keith McHenry. It's January 31st, about 8 o'clock at night. Keith is driving in a car, and I don't know what you're doing, Keith. You're coming back for a fun day. What? Anything happened today which deserves note in the community?
Oh, God. I don't know. Well, I mean, the thing I've been slightly interested in is that, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's apparently a rash of Felicia's been going around town filming cops backing up people living in tents when there's no place for anybody to go. So that's interesting. So there's a lot of that today. And then we have reports that the person that found dead outside of Housing Matters froze to death. He died of hypothermia.
Name of the person?
I think it's Blake is the name, but I'm not sure.
When did he die?
About a week ago, maybe, you know, this year, or, you know, whatever, sometime in January.
And, of course, that's an area, if you're talking about outside the Housing Matters, that's along Coral Street?
Yep, exactly. He was in the waiting area and was found dead. Yeah.
I know that they've fenced off the area. They used to allow people to have tents, but I haven't seen too many tents there for quite a while.
Yeah, no, they've been sweeping that out. So the other thing is that there is a statewide homeless union convention on April 4th in Sacramento that mostly Crystal is organizing with Sacramento Union of the Homeless. So that's one thing.
Any local union organizing happening or not?
Yeah, we're going to try to have some meetings, and we're actually definitely we're going to be doing stuff. So,
is there a meeting schedule?
The next meeting is Wednesday, whatever the next Wednesday is. Not tomorrow, but the Wednesday after that.
So that would be the 8th of February.
Maybe the 8th at 4 o'clock. Then at Resource Center for Nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a vigil for Manny, who is a Freedom Bombs organizer, who was a forest defender at the Cop City protest in Atlanta. He got shot with live ammunition and died. And so we're doing that at Thursday at starts at 2 o'clock Thursday at the town clock.
2 o'clock Thursday at the town clock. That'll be day after tomorrow?
Yep, day after tomorrow, yeah.
Huh.
So honor Manny. Manny was a very upbeat, really cool guy. I met him, like, briefly a couple of times, and I did talk to him a fair bit on Zoom and stuff and by Messenger about logistics in Tallahassee, crew got bombs, and so that's super tragic. There's also a...
Before you go on, Keith, give us a little of the background of Manny's death.
Okay, so, around the time of the George Floyd murder, and there was a protest, in Atlanta for a police killing that happened, now I can't remember his name, Brooks, I think is his name. And so out of that, kind of a coalition... anti-police brutality group really kind of coalesced, and that was near the time of they were going to start Cop City. So Cop City is in this forested area, in this area also that was used to house like a prison farm years ago, and they're going to tear down the trees and build a pretend city that cops can practice urban warfare on. And so a bunch of people started camping in that area, and then the police decided that they were going to move in with, they actually came in with armored vehicles and SWAT teams and so on. And in that time, there was a gunfire, and they shot in the direction of Manny, and he got hit, killed. But there's the cops are saying that Manny shot at them. This is like unclear, and it does seem out of character because of writings that Manny had written about how they would, stay nonviolent to the very end, and they would never break their spirits no matter what, and so on. So, and Manny was a University of, I guess, Florida or Florida State in Tallahassee student, and. He's born in Venezuela, and anyway, so that's super tragic in that they really just there's no investigation, that's independent has been done by the Georgia State Police who did the shooting, and then the other thing is seven others at that protest are now being held on terrorism charges. The first seven people to ever be charged under the new Georgia terrorism law. So there's that, what's going on with that. And Manny was 26 years old, and he did a lot of hurricane relief as well as Huda Bomb work. So that was really tragic. And also, it's very, it's not that common for the police, fortunately, it's not that common that they shoot into protest with live ammo. So that kind of takes it up a notch. Let's see, there's also a proposal now for a anti-war protest that sticks on in solidarity with the ones in Washington, D.C., in San Francisco, and so on February 19th. And tentatively, we were going to meet at the clock tower, but we haven't worked out all the details. But that's just
I was talking to you yesterday because I heard from, as I mentioned to you, Angel, Union of the Homeless, sometime activist and former member of the Santa Cruz 11, that there was some kind of protest at the town clock against the murder of Tyree Nichols, I think his name was.
Well, there seems to be planned for Friday at 6, is what I'm seeing.
Oh, really? That, starting at the town clock?
Yeah, that's what my understanding. I don't know the details, and Angel's not on social media anymore, so he was not able to. He just knows that something was happening on at 6 o'clock on Friday.
Well, he told me
ours is 2 o'clock on Thursday,
so that
the cases, while linked, are not overshadowing one another. So.
Right. I was surprised because, you know, he was very enthusiastic about something happening 4 o'clock on Monday yesterday, and we went down there and there was nothing that we could see that was happening. So.
Yeah. No, I didn't see anything there. I know he was telling me a bunch of stuff about that too, and there's nobody there. So.
I got you.
I told him I couldn't be there because I had a food pickup at the same time. So, but on my way by to the next meeting, you know, because I was picking up food on the west side and had a meeting at Resource Center for Nonviolence, and I had a very small window there.
There's been a freeze warning yesterday, and there's a frost warning the next 2 days in Santa Cruz, or maybe I'm thinking Felton, but. You know,
it's all Santa Cruz, yeah. And there's no accommodations for people living outside. It's frightening.
So there's no warming center. I understand Brent isn't opening because he hasn't got any volunteers, and he's also had to sort of push back his requirements so that it has to be super cold or super wet to get, because otherwise he handles it himself, is what he was telling me at some point. Any news on that?
No, that's the story, even though it could be below 32 degrees tonight in much of Santa Cruz. I mean, I had ice on my windshield, and, so that, I'm not surprised that it's going to be that cold. And it's really a shame that there isn't anything. And there was, people Murr was telling me about how he was at the Civic Auditorium when they gave an hour's notice to send everybody out, knowing that the worst rain was going to be that night. So that's really outrageous.
That was what? That was Friday a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. That was. Yeah.
I know you also have talked about the letter you got from the health department billing you $700. You want to talk about that?
Oh yeah, that's like. You know, I've been trying to negotiate with them that like seems way too much money, and then it's not clear really what the permit is for. But we used to have a permit that was, I believe, was free. It might have been $220 for the Red Church. It's the only permit we've ever gotten, and we did it because the Chris at the Red Church, you know, was kind of bullied into that. She didn't know what was going on, so we agreed to that. And allegedly, there's supposed to be the same permit for the for Enterprise, 100 Enterprise, and I assume we had one from last year. In fact, that's what they. So it's supposed to be transferable to Enterprise from the Red Church, and it was. And
Enterprise is where you cook now.
Yeah. So now they're trying to. So we actually commented in an email to. The people requesting the $700, we feel like it's basically paid in full because the county could actually be doing what we're doing, but doesn't. And
we should say that what you're doing is a full scale meal for several hundred people every day from Monday through Sunday, 12 to 3 or so, right?
Yeah, 7 days a week for it will be 3 years every day on March 14th, 2023. So, those people, there would have been real problems with people, if we had not been doing this for this whole time. And it just seems like a courtesy for, we're like, they could see people, but they're not. And
they being the city or county authorities?
Yeah, the county and the city, when they were arresting me at the garage on the 27th of December, I was like, you know, I did comment that the it was possible for them to, they didn't like me serving food, who have bombs serving food, the city could serve food, and, you know, that we were not stopping them.
I had heard rumors, Keith, that you were getting a bit tired or the volunteers were getting tired or there was some discussion of ending this in March.
We are hoping that when St. Francis opens, that we can go back to Saturday and Sunday. And the most recent news is sometime in the spring, St. Francis will open. And so then at that point, we will, you know, evaluate what's going on. And, you know, we're hoping we just let everybody know that on XYZ Day is the day that you now get the food at St. Francis again.
And that's St. Francis Soup Kitchen on Morris Street.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the meal, the bag, currently bag lunches on the weekdays only, but they used to have a sit-down meal inside, even with shelter access for about an hour, right?
Yeah. So, you could get a shower there. You could get a full meal. You could get seconds and stuff. Those are all things you can't do with the bag. And it's a lot more food than the bag lunch, and it's a hot meal. So we are, our goal is to go back to, you know, filling in for them on Saturdays and Sundays, and that, you know, when we would love to do that, and it'll be great. I mean, we can last up till the third anniversary, and we'll probably do an event on the third anniversary, but, you know, it'll be great if not long after that they returned and started doing it every, you know, Monday through Friday indoors, and then we wouldn't feel so obliged to do it every day, and that would be great.
What's the, Keith, what's the cost of, let's say, a week of meals for Food Not Bombs? What, to, in hard, cold cash, if there is such a way of estimating it?
Well, we spend roughly $10,000 a month in Santa Cruz to do Food Not Bombs.
And I guess one of the reasons that the, or I call it pretext, because I don't think it's really been good reasons. You and I have had maybe a difference of opinion on the Union of the Homeless organizing around the possibility of an injunction to stop the harassment that I guess Alicia is currently investigating with this police action against tents in violation of Martin versus Boise. But one of the reasons, supposedly, that the union and maybe the ACLU and the Disability Rights Coalition, which also is, I don't know, given some lip service to injunction but not actually done anything, is that there's been no good hard documentation of shelter shortage or shelters being filled up or not being, there not being enough shelter in the sense that they were able to eliminate the benchlands piece by piece, gouge by gouge, by claiming that they were offering shelter. This was Jeremy Leonard and Chris Monteith, I guess, going around and telling people.
We can easily get affidavits from people, and we can also show that they've never responded. I think there's something in the works parallel to what happened in
San Francisco.
And the San Francisco case seems to be giving people hope. Unfortunately, I'm really burning out, but I wanted to, did we already talk about me getting charged with felonies yet?
No. Why don't you briefly go into that?
Okay. So there was a case called 20S01888. And around the idea that I counterfeited hotel vouchers at the beginning of the pandemic. And so I was supposed to be arraigned on January 30th, yesterday, and I went down, and my name wasn't on the docket. This is for being arraigned for getting arrested in the parking garage on December 27th of 2022. When the atmospheric river was blowing and we were trying to serve inside the parking garage, and it was a nightmare. So anyway, I did 11 hours in jail for that. But anyway, so I assumed my arraignment would be on as advertised on the 30th, but my name wasn't there. And then at room 120, they didn't see any information either, so they said that you should go upstairs to the second floor to the DA's office. I went to the DA's office and said, do I have a case today, you know? She asked when I was arrested. I said, December 27th. She goes, no, those charges were dropped, but you do have this other case. And then so I asked her about this other case, and she couldn't print out any information from it, but she did handwrite a note. And so it turns out I have 2022, a new case started up with 07279, and the counts that are pending now are extortion induced by wrongful use of force. Then there were, that's, I think it's 518A. Then 472, counterfeit steal. And then 532A, false financial statement. And then 182A, conspiracy to commit a crime. And then 120275, violation to comply with shelter in place.
This would be pretty cryptic for people who don't know what they are talking about, or what you are talking about for that matter. Do you want to you're really referencing the time when you and other Union of the Homeless members back in the spring of 2020, when the COVID scene was just hitting, were trying to provide housing vouchers for people, given the supposed danger of group homes or group shelter that the city was offering. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, sort of. That's similar. So on the 23rd so there was announced $500 million for putting homeless people in shelters in hotel rooms during COVID, because of this idea that it would spread everywhere. But the city of Santa Cruz actually just set up chain link fences and parking lots and called them triage centers, and then told people they were going to have to set up tents in these like chain link fence areas and stay there for 72 hours, according to Susie O'Hara's interview in the Sentinel. So anyway, I happened to win some money from an award for being a vegan, and I sold my farm in New Mexico. So I drove up and down on the 23rd. I drove up and down.
23rd of April?
23rd of March of 2020. So the pandemic lockdown started on March 14th. On March 23rd, I go up and down. This is a couple days after it's announced that there'll be all this money for hotels. And to put everybody in a hotel, but the city is not interested in doing that. They don't want to do that. They want to put them in parking lots. So I went to as many hotels as I could on Ocean and reserved like 10 rooms at each hotel that I could. And then that afternoon, I went back to the town block where Food That Blogs was serving, told the volunteers that, look, I was going to give out hotel vouchers at 6 o'clock that night at the town block. So I designed already the housing vouchers and everything as preparing to do this. And so we divided up one union officer per hotel on the tent. So it would be 9 people plus a union officer in each of the hotels. And so we did 81 people the first night. And then then Mills declared it an illegal rally, violating COVID restrictions.
He was the police. He's the police chief at the time.
He was the police chief at the time. And then put 180 people in the next night because we were able to convince hotel room owners that we were willing, that people would do it, not damage hotels and stuff. We did it one more night of 180, and then we did like 126 people the fourth night. So what happened was that then there was like, we got rumors that cops are going around to, detectives are going to the, collecting the vouchers from the hotels and start an investigation, and then Take Back Santa Cruz people start posting all kinds of crap about it all over Facebook and everything. And so we kind of had an idea that there was some kind of police investigation into counterfeit, hotel vouchers. And then there was also a problem with Alicia had a case going for her dog years, back when she was housed. And they wouldn't settle the case because he had an outstanding case, which turned out to be kind of the same case. So I'm assuming Alicia's got the same case. And then, that first number I read is the case in 2020. And then it was a shock that, and no one noticed, told me anything about it or whatever, they've been allegedly investigating this all the way till last year, 2022. It's now about to be February 1st. So, that's the story there. And we need a lot of Food Up Bombs volunteers anyway. And you can find us at foodupbombs.net.
I see. Finally. We'll let you get some rest. I'll talk to you again.
Cool. Bye bye.
Thank you, Keith. And here's another by Peggy Seeger. It's from First Farewell, which I'm not sure if it's a series of videos that are celebrating a goodbye, but this one is called All in Your Mind, or actually All in the Mind. So I mentioned the upcoming protest, actually protest number two. So I made a flyer, which I'm going to read to you, which simply asks questions of the Mountain Community Resource Center, though it does have some weight. And after this, I'm going to play you an interview with someone who is houseless in the Felton area, who has got a lot of positive things to say about the Mountain Community Resource Center, and he has some questionable things to say, or he has some critical things to say about some of his fellow homeless folks, but he's worth listening to as well. But first, this flyer, Mountain Community Resource Center, I ask, calling cops on sick and disabled outside, nearby. Why did the center instruct sheriffs to accost people under their eaves or by their building after a week of frosty and freezing temperatures? It has been pretty cold up here in Felton. With no shelter available in the San Lorenzo Valley, and that, of course, includes Felton, did the sheriffs force a man with a fever out of his tent on the edge of the center's property because of that center's trespass instruction? Did the sheriffs then handcuff, brutalize, and arrest an elderly woman videoing the eviction, damaging her shoulder? And I think it was her wrist. I could have been wrong about the shoulder, although she mentioned it was wrenched. Now, we're talking about Helga here, if you've heard her in previous netcasts. And preventing her from videoing the 128 incident where Everett, who's a fellow who had a fever, according to Helga, and who was forced out of his tent. Is the center, in effect, using the sheriffs as goon squads to frighten away those setting up nighttime survival tents with the false narrative that there is adequate shelter in faraway Santa Cruz, or let's say certainly cut off from the sources of community and strength and sustenance, if they have them, that homeless folks have here in Felton, those who are long-timers here? Is the center and its parent organization, Community Bridges, remaining silent while sheriffs illegally drive away homeless folks sleeping on private property with no other place to go? Ask these questions. Require fair treatment of those outside. And that's the flyer, or something like it, that we're likely to be distributing on Tuesday at the Mountain Community Resource Center. I may be sending a copy of the flyer to Myra Melendrez. And that's Myra Melendrez, actually. Sorry about that. So here's an interview with Chris, who I met originally, who was had a tent. I believe he had a tent, and his vehicle was parked nearby. It was under the awning of it's kind of a wooden awning. Awning isn't quite the right word, but it's a lean-to. It's part of the building that's open on three sides. But it's where, if you come through Felton on a Thursday morning, you'll see a food line for folks gathering food from another organization that uses that area to both as a guard against the wind and the rain and convenient place to set up their food distribution, which is quite appreciated, I think, by the many folks in line. That was the last place we were at when we did a protest here, and we distributed an earlier flyer with questions, different kinds of questions, but it's pretty much similar in tone to asking whether it was true that they were driving people away, refusing them services, punishing and penalizing people who are doing nothing more than trying to shelter themselves against the cold, not even inside the building. That was the point we were raising. And we got a response from Myra, who's the, I'm not sure if she's the coordinator of all five of the community resource centers run by Community Bridges, but she sort of rotates around to the different centers, of which there are five in the county, and Felton's is one of them. And she claimed that there was a dispute, maybe a racism problem, with one of the staff members being I don't know, assaulted with a racial epithet, perhaps, or a lack of cooperation, or shouted at. And that was one of the concerns they had. And I was suggesting they needed to have a mediation session to work it out. It's been a little, I think she said there was some kind of appeal process, but we haven't yet gotten too far, except that their response was not to, we asked them that they have a moratorium on evicting people at night when it's cold who aren't even inside the center, provided they're well behaved, and they wouldn't agree to that. Instead, they filed a trespass letter on Friday night, and then early Saturday morning came and again forced the sick man Everett out of his tent, and then brutalized, by her account, Helga, who came to essentially be with him, to be nearby, to essentially witness what was going on, document it, reassure him. She has apparently a pretty close relationship with him as a sort of a caretaker person. And she was roughed up, thrown on the squad car by her account, handcuffed, charged with a misdemeanor crime because she kept videoing them. When they asked her to move back, she said she did. She did so again the second time. I think you heard her account if you listened to an earlier netcast of this show. And that is the kind of thing we're challenging. Chris has his own perspective. He talks a lot about the outdoor life, about his history here in Felton, and about his relationship with some of the police. This is his account. Well, here I am at the, what do you call this site, Chris?
This is the Zayanti.
We're at sort of the near the bridge of the Zayanti on 9 and, no, Graham Hill Road, sorry. Thank you. And this is near your camp. How long have you been at this particular camp?
I don't know. Maybe 6 months.
And I think you told me before you were pretty much unmolested or you've been having trouble. I'm not quite sure I remember.
The cops, when I first got to town in 2018, they gave me a lot of problems. But a lot of the thieves took off. So I guess it's backing off a little bit.
And I think you were saying the less thieving, less cops is what you were saying before.
Yes, because part of it was they were getting calls by the homeowners and stuff like that, people missing patio furniture, people doing drugs at the park in front of the kids, leaving needles everywhere. And when that cut down because of COVID and then the fire, people moved out. Those people never moved back in. So that works out better for us.
Now, the Covered Bridge Park, how welcome are homeless folks there?
Don't be there longer than a couple hours, because Sergeant Dunn, when I first got into town, he said, you're allowed to be here for 2 hours. You're not allowed to be here any longer than that. It's for the kids. It's not for. So I had to call his boss and say, is it open sunrise to sunset, or is it set just 2 hours?
And that's what his boss told you, too?
No, that's what Sergeant Dunn said. I told his boss, you know, is it sunrise to sunset? And when he told me, yeah, 4 hours of sunrise to sunset, I said, you need to tell your man that.
Did he ever tell his man that?
I don't know.
Did that deter you from using the park?
Yes. Yes, because I used to go down there to organize my stuff, because I had a wagon full of stuff. You know, I'd drag along a wagon and a little cart. And so I had 2 wagons full of stuff. One of his men threatened to take all my stuff, throw it away, and then give me for littering.
So this was in 2018 when you first arrived?
Yes. And another man said every time he saw me, he's going to give me a ticket. Not every time he saw me break the law. Every time he saw me, he would give me a ticket.
And this was also a man in a deputy's uniform?
Yes, yes. And that's only deputies to work here at, in Felton.
And this was immediately after you arrived or sometime after you arrived?
Well, this is the first week at least, a little bit longer than a week. When I arrived, for the first week, a little bit longer, every day they were harassing me. I could go to Quick Stop to buy something to eat, microwave it, leaving the parking lot, and they'll pull in and say, nope, go over there, and want to do a warrant check.
Now, are you on probation or parole?
No. No.
What's your reaction been when they say you want to do a warrant check? You say,
well, I normally let them do it. I normally didn't care, but when they keep on stopping me every time they see me, they do the warrant check because I'm new in town. Fine, they find out there's nothing against me. If they keep on doing it, that's just harassment. They've even gone inside the laundromat when I was doing laundry, and you know, wanted to harass me.
So when was the last time they were pulling this warrant check stuff?
Well, that I went to, when did I go to San Lorenzo Park? That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
2022. No, when I went to the park. Because I got here in 2018. I stayed here for 2 years or something.
Yeah.
So they maybe 2020. Yeah, every time. When I first got here, every time. I was brand new to the town, and they just didn't like homeless people.
And you yourself have been here for a while, too?
I've been here for 20 years. I've been in the Valley since the 60s.
Are you outside or inside?
I just got indoors. I've been camped right down here for 3 years.
Was there a time when the Covered Wagon Park was hospitable to folks who are outside or not?
Let's see. Not particularly, no. But back, 5 years ago, there were homeless people out there. They were blowing it. They were out there cussing, swearing, fighting, drinking outwardly, you know what I mean? So I can't say that there wasn't a good reason for trying to close that down. Yeah, yeah. Stupid shit like that. So, you know, they were trying to keep things hospitable with everybody. You know, people out there with their kids, and that's the park for kids. So, you know. So they took the benches out and the barbecue pits. They did what they had to do. But
about what year did they take the benches out? Do you remember?
Oh, my gosh. That's been the two benches they took. Oh, my gosh. That's been at least 5 years ago now. And the barbecue pits.
They used to have barbecue pits before my time. I knew about them, but
I'm trying to think what the sergeant's name was. It was a real asshole, though. I mean, he would really pick on people. I'm trying to think of his name.
The one before Dunn?
The one before Dunn, yeah. He was an ass.
And what's your analysis of Dunn?
Oh, Dunn, he's been pretty fair, although he lies. He lies. Yeah, he lies. He makes promises he has no intention of keeping. So,
and he thinks that his men aren't, a lot of them like to flex their muscles. That if you question their authority, they get really pissed off, even if they're breaking the rules. And I told him before, I said, your men aren't allowed to break the law to make my life harder.
And what was his response?
Well, he said, well, just ask them if you're being detained. Yeah, that way if I walk away and if they say no and I start walking away, then they got me for evading, resisting arrest, or whatever else. And I even told the dispatcher here 4 years ago or so that I want their body cams on anytime they have contact with me. She said, you can request for them to turn them on. You can ask them. I said, no, by then it's too late. If they don't have the body cams on when they come walking up, you don't know what they're going to say.
What's your experience, Alspin, with this?
With what, the body cams?
With the cops.
Oh, well, you know, my experience with the cops has been all bad over this, but you know, I tend to have warrants and things like that. Until the last 10 years ago, they've left me alone. So I've gotten denies. I think they've had a turnover. But there was a time that they would see me and they would just outright stop me for nothing, just shake me down for nothing. Went to the bus, whatever. I had that happen a few times. The bus stop, and turn the corner and come over and just shake me down, you know, waiting for the bus.
How do you account for the change?
The change,
Have you changed a big deal?
Partly that. I don't hang out with people I used to hang out with, and I don't go to the places I used to go. I come around here, I pick up trash. I have a bicycle trailer around picking up other people's trash. I keep my place really clean. I don't have people over my place. You know, so that's all changed. I just keep my place my home. It's my home out here, so I don't have people over hanging out, you know, unless it's my friend Karen or my campmate. But, yeah, so.
How's the Mountain Community Resource Center treating you?
They treat me well, but I think they're lacking in resources themselves. I think they're lacking in resources. So I haven't gone in there for a while now. When they're trying to get my Section 8 housing updated, and they had trouble accessing that information for me, and I've been on the list since, my gosh, since 2008, and they're backed up to 2011, so I'm sitting with my daughter over the hill right now, thank goodness, but she came and got me out of here when the flood happened. I was 4 feet in the water over here, so yeah, but the Mountain Resource Center, they you know, they do what they can do. I know that. I know they're working to do what they can do, and that's all they can do, what they're providing.
When was the last time you used their resources?
It's been a couple months ago, about 2 months ago. I went there to check on my Section 8 housing to see what my housing situation was, where I was out on the list, and, you know, they sent me down to the River Street shelter there to talk to a man down there.
How did that work?
And that worked out okay, but the only two places they had to offer me, one was in San Benito and one was in Hollister, and I'm in a borrowed vehicle right now, and I don't have a license. I've never got a license. So
those two places out of bounds for me. I couldn't, you know, not realistically go out there. I have a cat also. She's my love. So.
How about you, Chris? How has the Mountain Resource Center treated you?
I just use them for the showers, basically. That's all I use them for.
When was the last time you took a shower there?
A couple days ago.
And is there any kind of restrictions on your using it?
No. No, and the only reason Everett got in trouble was because he blacked the door, and then he lit his stuff, but he still blacked the other door, and he told them to call the cops.
Everett is known to cause problems. He doesn't work with people well. He doesn't work well with people. He thinks it's all about him, and so he brings problems to other people, you know, everybody else, and he needs to understand that he needs to abide by some rules, and it means for everybody, not just us, but him, too. He needs to follow those rules. Like you said, he's camped out there at his tent right out there. The 86th, he didn't listen to that. He just kept coming back and putting his shit right out there in the front and pissing people off, you know, and bringing heat on everybody else out there. So,
how about Eric? What do you enjoy?
Eric, I like Eric. Eric's a good guy. I know Eric, you know, I don't know if he's having problems or what, but Eric's always been a really nice guy. I like Eric a lot. And I've never done ever stealing or causing shit. Eric is a good guy, you know.
I think Eric turned himself into his PO, though. I think that was what that was about.
I don't think so they didn't come after him, but he actually turned himself in?
I think he did because his PO came out some, and then he left the next day or so with his PO.
At least his car right now, yeah.
So, what kind of resources do you think that you need here that aren't coming that could be here relatively easily?
Housing. If they could even just make it to where we would have a place, steady place, but not like the benchlands, because there you have everybody in a group setting, and I mean you got people lighting the porta-potties on fire. What they need to do is they need to section off, like, just say a quarter acre and have somebody sign for it.
Can I interrupt and bring some up? I mean, probably be here, but I just disrupted my attention and my thoughts. You know, Mount Hermon, they own all kinds of property. You know this? They own the church. They own most of Felton, and they have over 200 houses vacant right now that I know of. Over 200 houses up here vacant.
How do you know they're vacant?
Because my friend Tony Tamayo works right there at that yard.
He's told you that.
He's told me this. Yeah, he's a maintenance guy, and he does maintenance. Right now. They have over 200 houses over here that are vacant.
Why are they being held vacant? Any idea?
Because they own that property. They own, when you go into Mount Hermon up here, the church property, they have over 200 houses there. They hold vacant for other people that come from out of the area that are part of their dealio. They let them have them for $20 a weekend. I mean, family houses, family-sized houses. Other homes, he's got to stay for free during the weekends. He's an employee there. He's caretaker maintenance, gets a free apartment. But there were times he went to go to, you know, some place just by him and his dog. And he got one of these cabins for $20 for the weekend. And one was, he said, it was a five-bedroom place. Four or five bedrooms, yeah, for $20 for the weekend. But they have all kinds of cabins there that are vacant. It's like, wow. You know, they're a church community. Come on, help out here, you know. Help, you know, there are homeless people out there. I think there are like a total of 10 or 12 homeless people in this town right now, just as I counted last year.
Small number.
Yes, yeah, very small number.
How did that care compare with those, say, a decade or two ago?
Oh, my God, there used to be at least 25 homeless people here. I could get a piece of paper and count them all. Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Why do you think they left?
Some died, and some moved out of the area. Got places to live, yeah, but the majority of them died.
Do you think is it because of an inhospitable environment or mainly other reasons?
Inhospitable environment, definitely, yeah.
Because
yeah.
If what you are saying is true, Chris, there's a lot of your harassment probably isn't limited to you, right?
Right. That's true. But part of it, like I said, Everett doesn't help things. He's not. I told Dan when I first got into town and he started harassing me, I told him, hey, you know, we should have more empathy for you, but you have to have more empathy for us, too, because not all of us, we have to deal with the same jerks they have to deal with. So, I mean, it's like...
Yeah. We police ourselves out here recent years, you know. Me personally, like I've told him when he was here, I said, hey, don't let people come to your place that are blatantly out using drugs and that kind of shit, bringing heat on you. I said, you're going to bring heat on yourself. I said, do what you're going to do, but keep it undercover, whatever you're going to do. Don't blast it out there in the community. You know, keep your trash picked up. Don't bring shit to your camp that you're not going to take out, ever. I know this because I have a bicycle trailer. I go around, I pick that shit up. I take it to the dumpster over there. That's kind of what I do, you know. And I've had the police on my face say, wow, you have the nicest camp we've ever seen, you know. And I told him, I said, keep your place clean. Don't let people over here.
How many in your camp?
Just myself and my friend Stevie. Since the flood, though, neither of us are there now. There's 4 feet of water out there, so our place is gone now. It's out here. It's a mess. I go and collect a few of my things. I can't get anything out of there.
Do you have another camp elsewhere now?
No, my daughter picked me up. I was stuck out here. I was in water up to my knees. So I got my cat in San Jose with my daughter's right now.
So you're just visiting?
Yeah. I'm here to see what's going on here and clean up any mess I got to clean up, you know. Touch bases with him, see how they were doing, and, you know. But
we had some protests around the community, Mountain Community Resource Center, because we heard not so much from Everett, more from Eric, who was... let me ask you first this, that there were problems in terms of trying to plug in your appliances, you know, to charge your phone.
Oh, okay. I haven't had to access that since the flood, because, like I said, my daughter picked me up the day this all started. She picked me up when I went to San Jose. So I haven't had to deal with any of this. But I do know that there was a time when if you had a camp here, either you pick county property or private property. Private property, you're trespassing. County property or state property, I forget which one it is, but cops find you there, they tell you, you got to move along. Well, by law, they have to give you a place to go, right?
Theoretically.
Well, they tell you, go to Santa Cruz, go to the shelter. Well, the shelter doesn't provide you with a place to stay. Right. They give you the runaround, hoping you didn't know the law. And they chase you out of town. You get Santa Cruz. Well, what happens in here? You've got all your shit. You're from the homeless shelter. Going, well, what now? And they're going, ha-ha, I got him out of here anyway. That was their deal. That's what they would do. And I asked Dunn one time. I said, well, where do I go? He says, well, come by on Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I did that. This was a Monday. Went by, knocked on the door, got a piece of cake in his hand, answered the door. I said, I'm here to see Sergeant Dunn. He told me to be here by 4 o'clock today. I'm here. It's Friday. He came to the door. I said, what's up? Because he gave me his card and everything. He told me he'd help me out. I said, well, I'm here. He says, well, you picked it Friday. It's just before 4 o'clock. He says, you know, that's kind of stupid, don't you think? I said, you told me to be here by 4 o'clock. It's 20 to 4. I'm here. He gave me the same references the resource center gave me. So he was just showing off in front of his friends the day he gave me the resources on the Monday. His cop buddies were there. And he said, oh, here, I'll help you. Just talk to me. Call me before Friday this week. Gave me his card, making me believe that he was going to give me someplace, a reference I didn't already have. I said, sure, sounds good to me. I'll be there. I was there, and that's what he gave me.
Another one by Peggy Seeger, Gotta Get Home by Midnight.
When I wake up in the morning, I'm 100 years old. My feet on the floor, and I'm 99. A good hot shower, and I'm looking at 80. After breakfast, I'm 79. Getting younger by the hour, gotta get home by midnight. It's a beautiful day, I'm 64 in my new red shoes. My kitchen is a dance floor. Lunchtime and I'm in my prime, 50 and I'm heading for 49. Getting younger by the hour, gotta get home by midnight. An hour ago I was 41, I said I was 39. But now I'm 20, heading for my teens. Hormones driving me out of my mind. If I stay any longer, I'll be buying those blue jeans. The ones manufactured with the holes all over. Getting younger by the hour, gotta get home by midnight. When the clock strikes 12, nature resumes her own gravitational plan. Then I'm hitting the road with Father Time dragging me by the hand. But I'm gonna leave a little glass slipper behind before the rats start pulling my van. Getting younger by the hour, gotta get home by midnight. My doorbell rang in the middle of the night. Prince Charming is standing there. He gazed into my blue eyes. He said, they're the color of time. He knelt down by my chair, and that little glass slipper just fitted me fine. He's waiting for me now in the moonlight. He said, come home whenever you like. I want to run my hands through his curly gray hair. So good night. I gotta get home.
I'm here. He gave me the same references the resource center gave me. So he was just showing off in front of his friends the day he gave me the resources on the Monday. His cop buddies were there, and he said, oh, here, I'll help you. Just talk to me. Call me before Friday this week. Gave me his card, making me believe that he was going to give me someplace, a reference I didn't already have. I said, sure, sounds good to me. I'll be there. I was there, and that's what he gave me.
How close is the cooperation between the sheriffs and Mountain Community Resource Center?
I have no idea. I don't know. That I couldn't answer it for you. I don't know.
I do know that, okay, they got, what, $19 million between the federal government and some other things. They got $19 million or something since 2020 for Santa Cruz County. Okay, you know how many people they could have housed with that? But one of the guys who was supposed to be a coordinator at the Benchlands, he bought a brand new Harley with his money.
You talking about Jeremy Leonard, maybe?
Probably. Ponytail? Big guy? Yeah.
Tall guy?
Yeah. He bought a brand new Harley.
Stephen Ferrero would be a good person to talk to. Stephen Ferrero, he's out here. He'd be a good person to talk to. He uses the resource center all the time. He takes showers as his laundry area. He's there almost daily.
He'd be, he'd be a number for Stephen, by any chance?
He doesn't have a telephone.
No telephone.
He has no telephone.
So
he's out here right now somewhere.
Oh.
I'll probably see him if you're going to be around. I have a car. I'll call you.
If you see him, yeah, have him, let me give you my card. You can pass it on to him.
Yeah, because he's the person talking. He uses it all the time.
The reason I'm asking is we're having a meeting tomorrow with this group that I'm with called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Okay.
We got, you probably know Helga.
Yeah, I know Helga. Yeah, she's a nice lady. I know Helga.
She
yeah.
got put in the back of a cop car.
Oh, she was handcuffed and bruised and thrown, by her account, I didn't see it, thrown into a police car for videoing Everett's arrest. He wasn't really arrested. He was told to leave. He wasn't even on the property. He was in front of the property.
No.
Well, I don't know. That was her account.
Did she show you the video?
She showed me a video that was hard to pierce because she said she was having trouble with the police telling her to continually move back, and then it wasn't done apparently. It was some older deputy, she said, who then started roughing her up and threw her in the car, handcuffed her.
Helga's good for staff. Helga's a good lady. You know, she stands up for people. She's doing what she can do. Excuse me, but
she asked us to come and do a protest at the Homeless Community Resource Center, asking that they allow people to charge their phones at night if it's cold and they have no place to go, to be at least to be able to be under the incline of that area. What is your feeling? Is that an unreasonable demand? Is it a reasonable demand?
I think as long as they're in the front of the building, it'd be fine. It's just keeping people away from the back parking lot because their apartment complex is there, and those people, I'm sure, they don't let people back there. I understand that. That's their parking area. That's their homes back there. So, I think if they could keep it in the alcove right there in the front of the building, I don't see any problem with that.
That's where I first met you, Chris.
In the alcove in the front of the building, Everett was blocking the doorway. You can't do
that.
So, and so underneath the overhang by the garbage cans, that ain't bad. But then Everett starts arguments with the Mexican dude first, that every set Mexican dude. And then the owner came out, and Everett started an argument with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't have
Everett does tend to start problems. Like, he does tend to do that sort of thing.
What about the idea of just saying, you know, if a person is creating a problem, that's something else. But generally speaking, have people still been able to come back, use that in cold weather or in rainy weather in the last couple of weeks, or have people stayed away?
Well, people are staying away just because Everett's causing, blaring the music. He gets the neighbors over there calling the cops. And then Brandy yelling gets the neighbors there calling the cops. And you tell Brandy, hey, keep it down. And she says, you don't tell me what to do. And then it makes it worse. So that's why we leave, because you have people there that are going to cause enough problems where the cops have reason to be called.
They're doing their job here, so.
Well, the question we're trying to figure out tomorrow is whether we should come back to do another flyering asking the community to suggest that the Mountain Community Resource Center, if people are not causing problems, that they be allowed left in peace, and also in their camps that they be left in peace.
Absolutely.
Unless there's a real, there's some kind of heavy illegal, and I don't mean drugs. Drugs are anybody, or somebody else's business. It's not,
President Dunn said he'd leave us in peace down here as long as we don't disrespect him like he wanted my car moved. I said it'll be moved by 2:30. It was moved. Okay, he's another one he wants you to know he's the boss. He can do what he wants, basically. And that's kind of, don't you see him that way? Power trip?
Yeah. I do. Yeah.
If you don't listen to him, he's going to fucking make your life hard. And when I started calling his boss, like in 2018, I was calling his boss almost every day. And I had legitimate complaints where his cops were breaking the law to make my life difficult.
What were the consequences of your complaints?
Nothing.
But did he, when he eventually say he's been laying off?
No, yeah, but I mean, originally, he just came to me and he said, instead of calling my boss, call me, because he got tired of hearing the shit and he wasn't doing nothing about it. When I was calling him, he still didn't do nothing about it. So I asked him how he'd like if 10 middle-aged women, called his boss and asked why the sheriff's department was showing them the wee-wees. And I said, you're not going to like the investigation, are you? His men backed off then.
Because really?
Because he knows I know 10
A new strategy.
Women.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, you threaten them with me breaking the rules. If they don't have to follow their own rules, neither do I.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, see, that worked for me. It got the men off me for a while.
Dig it. So what's your reaction? Would you think the homeless folks are going to be happy we're having these protests, unhappy, indifferent, angry?
Well, it depends. Like the family resource, if too much headache gets caused, then they just got to shut it down. That's all they have to do. So that's going to be a problem. That's problematic in itself. But if we could get it to where, I know the county owns a lot of property. Section off quarter acres, mark them, quarter acre lots. If somebody wants to be responsible for keeping that area clean, then they can camp there. They go down to City Hall, sign paperwork saying they're responsible for it. That way if it's trashed, they get the ticket for delivering. Not whoever stays there with them, but they get the ticket because their name's on the, papers. And that way the cops can't bust them. They can't give them a hard time because they have permission to be there. And that way you can set up a more stable environment. And unlike the bench lands, you can tell somebody, you can't be here because this is under my name and I don't want you here. That way you don't have the people stealing stuff and putting... Usually I have a seat down there. People just bring their stuff into my camp, dropping it off, and then they leave it for days, weeks. So I got to haul it out to the trash. I still got a whole bunch of garbage over there.
And it's not good exercise.
No. So, but if they took, each quarter acre lot had one person responsible for it, he could have his own community, he could pick the people that he wants there and get rid of the rest. And then he could set up a more permanent thing to where it'll be more stable, maybe build a storage shed for stuff he doesn't want stolen. And then he can go out, look for work, look for a place to stay, run with the program without having to worry about coming home and not having no blankets that night.
So I guess, as I say, tomorrow we have this meeting. I'm trying to figure out what, I think I gave you my card before in case you lost it. Here's another one. Now you got two.
Thank you, one to Steve, too.
Sure, sounds good. I thought...
You have to start with policing ourselves. Okay, I've seen people, I've been in a whole bunch of different states. People, when somebody rolls up the window or locks the car door, people flying a sign, I've seen people jump on the hood, pound on the hood, pound on the windshield. We got to stop that because everybody's afraid of homeless because of that. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And if some guy approached my old lady and my old lady's walking in the convenience store with my son or whatever, and somebody was cussing her out because she wouldn't give him some change, I'd come back with a baseball bat. Everybody would get hit because my lady doesn't need to be subject to that, and I'm not going to bring her back to identify him. They should have stopped it. If somebody's your friend, stop him from doing stupid stuff.
So I guess what we're trying to figure out is how to... it sounds like the...
It's a balance. Okay, we need to police ourselves. We need to keep each other from acting stupid because the cops are limited in what they can do.
That's not really something that I or our group has much to do with. It has to do with you because you live here, and it has to do with folks, as you say, doing stuff themselves. Right. What about the police department and the social services department? What do they need to be doing?
They need to work on more housing. Okay, look, every time they hire somebody to work at the housing authority because they're overloaded and they got a long waiting list and the waiting list ain't open or whatever, that's taken away from how many people's houses? The prison that they hire is taking up a paycheck. That money's got to come from somewhere. So it's coming from this guy getting a house. So instead of doing that, why don't they have the people who are getting the housing have them work 1 week out of the month?
So maybe we should look at the resources, the financing of the homeless.
Why not where they're pocketing money for administrative fees? Why not have the people who are getting the assistance work for them a week? Instead of hiring people.
Of course, there are much better things to do. The question is, given what's happening right now, what should we be telling the Mountain Community Resource Center that they should be doing? We could ask them what their budget is, how their money is being spent.
They won't help out a lot of people here because I know people take advantage of it. I don't. That's why I don't ask for bus passes. That's why I don't ask for tents. I don't ask for none of that. I can get that all on my own. Because they help out. Like one guy would wind up radio with the flashlight when the fire was happening. He got like five of them. He'd get one, then he'd go sell it, then he'd go back and say, oh, it got stolen, and get another one. The people go get the bus passes, $10 with the bus rides, and they sell them. And so I understand that part, too. That's misappropriation. It's the people who are all pleasant to speak to, who never disagreed, never argued with them. Those are the people getting the stuff and selling it and all that. The reason they're pleasant to talk to and they never disagree with them is because they're using them. You know? Nobody's going to agree with you about everything. Nobody. If they do, then they're lying to you. They want something out of you.
Except for me, of course.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Chris. I'm going to kind of leave it there unless you want... What else? Is there anything we haven't covered you want to say?
I would like it to where if they would give us an area, not like the bench lines, because you put too many people in one area.
So you said.
Mojo. But if you could get a place where we could section off... Fortified is used to be $26 a week. And they come out and clean them. Okay. I'd be willing to pay that if I had a little spot where I could set up, do a porta potty. Anybody has trash to carry out what they bring in.
What is the bathroom situation like in Felton? How do you deal with that?
Well, I go to Safeway or Blair's lets you use their bathroom. Resource Center lets you use their bathroom. So I got a storage unit right over there. I use their bathroom up until 7.
That's for you. How about other folks?
Well, Safeway, Valero's, the Taqueria lets you use theirs most of the time. CVS has a bathroom.
So there's not a real problem for there?
Late at night, maybe, but just try to make sure you go before you have to do that.
Carry a shovel with you or something.
Yeah, you can do that. Or plastic baggies or whatever.
Well, I'm running out of complaints here. Sorry.
In terms of complaints, like I said, they were willing to break the law to make my life harder when I first got into town. They didn't even know me. Okay.
I think they're still doing that for people who just came in.
They probably are. And they're also, but see, they're categorizing, they're putting everybody in a lump area. One guy told me, oh, well, the reason we let them stop us and search us, da, 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 all the time is because we don't want them to harass us. That is harassing you. It's kind of stupid. What, you're afraid that next time they're going to catch you with dope and arrest you? Well, they're going to do that anyways. So they are harassing you. If they pull you over every time they see you, just because they see you and they know your name, you know, especially if you're not on probation. I wasn't on probation or parole. I hadn't had a warrant in California in 30 years.
And thank you for talking with me. Here's a little souvenir of our occasion. This is Santa Cruz concerns that I've written up for my thoughts about things.
Well, see, there's... Like I told you when Gil was still there, Sergeant Dunn, a little bit of a power trip. All the cops that work here, they're harder on you here than they would be in Ben Lomond or in Santa Cruz. And it's the same officers, not just the same department. Because in Ben Lomond, they woke me up. I was in between the library and the rec center. And the cop who always threatens to lock me up when I'm under a bridge or something here told me, oh, no, it's okay. You're not bothering anybody.
You think there's more demand for harassment here than you think there is?
Yes, because people are stealing furniture and shit like that. But I also think it's a power thing. We got so used to being able to...
Anything to do with property values?
Well, isn't the property value here basically the same as Ben Lomond?
Don't know.
I know a family that lives in between here and Ben Lomond. Past high school, I forgot the name of the street. But, and they bought their house, I assume from here to Ben Lomond is the same. It's only a few miles.
You could well be right. I don't know.
I know it goes down.
Don't know.
It should go down further to get to Santa Cruz, or it should go down because Santa Cruz is worse.
Santa Cruz is...
That started in the 80s.
Fancy stuff. Thank you, Chris. I'm going to leave it at that, I guess.
You know what happened to Santa Cruz?
You can tell me if you want.
Everybody who came here to visit, you know, from the valley and all that, they saw how cool it was, and they said, man, if I were homeless, I'd live here. And they told everybody. They should have said, no, the cops are bad. They should have said, no, it snows all the time. Yeah, I mean, come up with something to where nobody moved here.
There you have it, the Chris solution. Thank you, Chris.
Yes.
Yet another one by Peggy Seeger called The Invisible Woman.
What a beautiful, beautiful baby, said the face looking down from the sky. A neighbor joined in and tickled my chin. What a beautiful baby was I. Growing up, I made sure of attention. Everyone's eyes were on me. And into my teens, I was never not seen. The whole world revolved around me, me, me. I was here for the birth of my children. I was here at the bell of the ball. 80 years have gone by in the blink of an eye. Now it seems that I'm not here at all. Here comes the invisible woman. She's been on the planet for years. You can't make her out, there's never a doubt. The invisible woman is here. I stroll down the high street on Sunday in clown shoes and lace underwear. Did they notice my dance? Not one single glance. So I guess that I can't have been there. I can't recall when it first happened. Don't know how I became so unseen. When my tangible self was put on the shelf, these words on the label, unseen. Here comes the invisible woman. She's been on the planet for years. You can't make her out, but there's never a doubt. The invisible woman is here. Why do I feel so much less than I am? There's so much more of me now. Gray hair, whiskers, wrinkles and such. Dressing for comfort and longing for touch. It should be so simple, it feels like so much. To ask you to see me. It's only a feature of nature. You will start vanishing too. You will get old, left out in the cold. The ghost army's waiting for you. Like the leaves that fall before winter. Like the day that turns into the night. We may not have a choice, but we still have a voice. The invisible gals love a fight. Here comes the invisible woman. She's been on the planet for years. She has plenty to say. She won't go away. The invisible woman is here, here, here. The invisible woman is here.
So I've been looking at the headlines of Sentinel, the Chronicle, and the Mercury News. I'm kind of addicted or repelled at the same time. And I'm noticing a few things. The case of the Memphis Police Department's murder, Tyre Nichols, has been coming back. Even though it happened a year ago, the video was released about, a month ago, slightly a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a week ago. And it's drawing in more and more media interest as the police department scurries to make what I call cosmetic responses that aren't entirely cosmetic responses. It's rare to see five police officers charged with second-degree murder, and more apparently are being fired from the force, including firemen who are standing nearby. This is, of course, the case of the Memphis situation. Well, I should read a little bit about it for those who haven't been following it. Highly anticipated video released Friday showed five Memphis Police Department officers using a stun gun, a baton, and their fists as they pummeled Nichols during a nighttime arrest January 7th after he was pulled over on suspicion of reckless driving. Nichols, a 29-year-old father, was heard calling for his mother and seen struggling with his injuries as he sat helpless on the pavement. He died at a hospital 3 days later. This is a paragraph, 5 or 6 paragraphs into the story, although since this has been, I don't know about front page news all the time, but pretty intense coverage by a lot of media. It begins, and this is the Sentinel I'm quoting from, another officer relieved of duty. A sixth Memphis Police Department officer has been disciplined for his involvement. It's involvement. Now, if somebody else who wasn't an officer was doing what this guy did, standing by while somebody else was getting beaten to death, I don't think they call it involvement. They call it maybe some kind of collusion, criminal negligence, but it's involvement, you see, if it's a police department. In the brutal beating and arrest of Tyree Nichols, a department spokeswoman said Monday, of course, this is the police department doing the usual soft peddling. Officer Preston Hemphill was relieved of duty shortly after the January 7th arrest of Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Memphis police spokeswoman Kara Randolph said she did not disclose Hemphill's role in the arrest. Rudolph said information on disciplinary action taken against Hemphill was not immediately released because Hemphill was not fired, and the department typically releases information about officers who are relieved of duty after an investigation ends. So the question is, why is she suddenly making a public statement? Well, there have been a lot of protests, not in Santa Cruz particularly, although I've heard rumors of protests. I went down to the town clock on false information, or maybe it was optimistic information, given by a fellow activist who said there was a protest a few days back, and there was no protest, at least when I was there. But there is a protest tomorrow, and that is going to be at 6 o'clock at the town clock, as I mentioned earlier. And I think Keith McHenry also mentioned it in his interview, or he mentioned it at the Huff meeting today. I haven't played that segment. I'll probably be playing that maybe on Sunday. Nichols' family and others closely watching developments surrounding his brutal arrest and killing in Memphis were awaiting word of additional disciplinary action against officers who are at the scene but have not been fired or charged. The five officers who have been fired and charged with second-degree murder and other alleged offenses has shocked many for its brutality and revived calls for police reform around the country. And I guess my thought is, I always find myself suspicious when these kinds of headlines show up, because the general tenor of the Sentinel and these other newspapers is not to encourage meaningful, deep reform of the police department through what I feel has to be done through defunding. That is to say, through removing the massive amount of money that's going to the police department. And in fact, what the Sentinel editorialized, I think it was a day or two later, maybe before, maybe at the same time as this story, was that, let's see, this could be it here. Yeah, this is, on the same day, there's an editorial, Tyree Nichols, how did this happen again? And they're shocked. What happened? Appears to be defenseless, crying out for his mother, kicked and hit him. The five officers were black, as was Nichols, but and this is police violence centering around the race of the victim, which appears to have been yet another African-American found guilty of driving while black. How could this happen again, they ask. How can, oh dear, oh, they're shocked. They're very, very shocked. Officers are part of a special Memphis unit called Scorpion, formed in 2021. To reduce violence in high crime areas of the city by getting violent, I guess. The city's police chief, also black, disbanded the unit in response to video evidence and to public outrage and perhaps media activity to get around the kind of spread of anger that resulted in some, for a time. It even had ripples of response here in Santa Cruz, the Black Lives Matter movement, which not only affected the rights of black people temporarily, or at least protest around that issue, but also affected the situation for homeless folks, who then police chief was trying to Andy Mills was trying to, he specifically banned Food Not Bombs from providing meals and hotel vouchers at the town clock. He fenced off the area. He fenced off the area across from the town clock that was next to the post office where homeless people had been sleeping. He arrested people who would not move. Cooper and Russell were the couple that refused to move. And instead, as you heard Keith McHenry state, he set them into these triage. Well, I guess there was only one center at the time that I heard of. It was a little kind of a triangular area right across from where Food Not Bombs then served, for about 2 years. Lot 27, I believe it was, next to the, I guess it's the Broadway Bridge. And that only lasted for a day or so, run by Serge Cagno and Rafa Sonnenfeld, as I understand it, who eventually gave up on it as well. But the fences that were set up to blockade the area from which these people were originally moved into this triage area, which, as I said, didn't last long, but the fences that originally were there, including the fences around the town clock, were dismantled by Black Lives Matter-inspired protests. And they were dismantled not once, but twice, not with violence, but with determination, and they were deposited at the police department headquarters again, saying, in essence, saying, you know, fuck off, or no, you're not going to do this. And, of course, there was the community response to the attempt to close off the benchlands and the duck pond and the upper park in the winter of 2020 when the Union of the Homeless a day later got an injunction, but it only came after the community came out in significant numbers and blocked the police, physically blocked the police. That's one of the first times I've seen that happen, certainly the first time in recent history. So this is the kind of thing that I don't think authorities throughout the country want to see happen again. And naturally, folks who are well-to-do are concerned with protecting their property. And so I tend to look at these stories that show up in the newspapers and the promises of reform in police departments and so forth as being bent toward that end. But again, this is speculative on my part. But again, the story, this is editorial in the Sentinel, the same Sentinel that has the story about another officer relieved of duty in Memphis, ends, "Blaming all police is not the answer, and calling for more national police standards must be accompanied by funding for local departments to implement them." In other words, more money is what is needed for the police department. And, of course, national police standards are just fine, but let's not look too closely at what the Santa Cruz police are doing and not doing in terms of transparency, accountability, living in the community that they supposedly are supposed to be in community with, and policing rather than occupying as an alien force. That, of course, is not something that is taken up anymore. It certainly was not taken up by the conservative city council, but it also wasn't really taken up by the liberals like Sandy Brown and Justin Cummings on the force. And, of course, Drew Glover and Chris Crone were quickly dumped through real estate funded recalls before they could do much, but they didn't do a lot there either in any direct, explicit way. But there was still this wave that happened in 2020 that, I don't know, I'm somewhat nostalgic for, I gotta say. You know, you'll get these articles by, here's a liberal, Eugene Robinson, "Policing must be done with the community, not to it," which pretty elementary. Particularly since they're supposed to be enforcing the Constitution, not the power trips of authority or the class divide that is, you know, implicit and explicit in authorities, legal system, employment system. I'll just stop right there. There's a lot of talk about the need for reform, and I'm afraid this is a way that they're letting off steam, and that's what I'm concerned about, that it's not going to go any further. Where should it go? Well, for me, a touchstone of this is to defund police. And people say, oh, no, the police are protecting you. And you have to ask yourself how often the police have actually protected you. I don't think that is really but what they do primarily. And I don't think it's something that we can realistically expect them to do, particularly if you're a poor person or a working class person. And I may get into this more on the Sunday netcast and go through some of the old flyers I have regarding the Santa Cruz Police Department explicitly, and it's racism, it's classism, it's failure to be transparent, it's militarism, and there are very specific reasons I use these terms, which I won't go into now. What I'm going to play for you now is a kind of a farewell salute and kind of an introduction to tomorrow's 6 o'clock protest, if it comes off at the town clock. And also as an acknowledgement of the protest that I think I was told was happening today at the town clock starting at 2 about Atlanta's cop city moving ahead after police kill a protester and charge 9.